हाँ ना, मौका
Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening.
So we are starting with Bereshit Bet of the Sulam Commentary, section 65. And Hanoch walked with Elohim, verse 388. And we'll start with the
Oh, we're not doing advanced reincarnation.
Yehud. I guess we are. You're right. We are. Thank you for that.
It's okay.
So give me a minute because I know where advanced reincarnation is. And we'll start with the Anabakoth.
I'm gonna mute.
Anabekoa gedula chumin satir cherura Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Acharenu Nora Ufreshayan Sintet Nun Nagibor Dorshe Yehudcha Kevavat Shamrem Nun Gimodalad Yudkavshin Barchem Tacharem Rachame Sitkacha Tami Gamlem Et cetera Sadi Tav Gimel Tassin Kadosh Berov Tuvcha Namae Adatav Et Kufbet Tet Nunayim. The letters of the month of Iyar, the Pei, that created the planet Noga, the planet Venus, the planet that is concealed under the clouds, and the Vav that created the constellation Shor, which is the bull, which is the astrological sign of Taurus. Together, the Pe and the Vav have a gematria of 86, the same as the name or the name of God Elohim, which is the name of God used in the frame of judgment. But it's also the Hebrew word Hateva, which translates as nature, as in Mother Nature, the laws of nature. So the month of Iyar is a month of judgment. But there's nothing wrong with judgment if you're doing the proper actions. The problem for human beings is we're not sure that we're doing the proper actions, as we have to cleanse ourselves. And that's the purpose of the Omer. Yachid Geye Lamcha Pene Zokre Kedushata Yud Gimalamed Pei Zion Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Dalumot Shin Kufav Zadiyud Taf. We have brought the energy of creation into our space, and we will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of that creation. And we'll use the 13 attributes of mercy for this purpose. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum V'Chanun, Erech Apayim, V'Rav Chesed V'Emet, Notze Chesed La'alafim, Nose Awon Wapesha, V'Chata Avinake. And now we're going to connect to the year of the goat, the year 5777 this year, with two verses. The first that we will study is Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 52. So tzaduni katzibor oyevai chinam. When we take the first letters of these words, we're able to parse them into three words. Tzatzkiyach, which translates as appear like brothers. And when we take the final letters of these words, we're able to permute them into two Hebrew words, Ir Yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. The second verse that we connect to is Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. This verse has the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Zion, concealed within it, and the letters of the name of the year are separated by seven letters each. Kim Adonai Yohewahe Elohechem Tadibaku Kasher Asitem Ad Hayom Hazeh. Now we're going to connect to the year of the pause, 5776. There are two verses that connect to this verse, this energy as well. The first verse we study is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Baraka Kohanim Hayulimat Willo Yachlu Lahavshit Et kol ha'olot v'yechaskum achechem ha'levim ad kelot hamlacha v'yad yitkadshu ha'kohanim ki ha'levim yishrei levav le'itkadesh me'ha'kohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letter of each word, we're able to parse them or permute them into eight names of God. Adonai Yohei Wahei La La Hei Wa 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 Yo La Yo Ala Me Hey 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 Aka A Re Ka Ha. The second verse, Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bidchu ba'adonai yohewahe ade'ad ki b'yah yohewahe yohewahe u'elami. The year 5775, the year that death is swallowed up forever, is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo ishemimeni lo tarpeni ad bili ruki.
Ira Hubbard.
Welcome, Ira. Next, we are studying the 1 Samuel 20, chapter 23, verse 23. Uru, udu, mikol hamachavu iyam. Asher yitchabe sham wishavtem elai el nachon. Vehalachti idchem vichayayim yeshno. Baretz vichipasti. And the third verse is also from Job. It's chapter 20, verse 7. Kagelo lanetzach yoveid roav yomru ayo. And the year 5774, the year of peace in the Middle East. We have only one verse with this energy. It's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wesamti makom leami liYisrael untati vishakan tach tavilo yirgaz od vilo yosifu v'nei avla v'la anoto kasher barishona. We're now going to study a verse from the Zohar that has the energy of certainty. This verse comes from Parasha Yitro, Pasuk 29. And we'll start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kudsha barichu ishkinte bitilu Urchimud hilud hilu urchimu Kliyata l'shem yud hei bavav hei Bihuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael Limud Torah mitzvah Lasok Torah mitzvah Vayihino am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maaseh yadeinu konenei aleinu maaseh yadeinu konenehu Rabbi Abba Amor v'kam atar Tane nan kucha perichu komadi aved leila witata kolaihu yeshot viovada dikshot veleit lach mila vialma divae parnash ledachya leia mineia. Ulan hagabeya delana dehakulu Ovada dikshot inun vekola Itzderich bealma. We're now going to scan the 72 names of God. And the 72 names from the Tzaddikim. And the names of the Tzaddikim we left this day. The second day of Iyar. Rabbi Shmuel Shmelki Horowitz of Niklosburg. Rabbi Moshe Zakan Mazus of Gerba. Rabbi Abraham Baduk of Mexico. And Rabbi Yehuda Meir Abramovitz. And today is also the birth date for the fourth Chabad Rebbe, Shamuel Schneerson. And the eighth verse of the Ana B'Koach we say in a whisper. Today's class is Advanced Reincarnation, and you can find this on the Revealed Wisdom page, in the Revealed Wisdom Matrix, row 11, the second column from the left. When you open up that page, scroll down until you get to Class 8 and the handout for Class 8, which is going to open up. And when you scroll down about a half an inch, you'll find Chapter 5, Section 6, which is where we will start tonight. And the title of this section is Switch Souls. Does anybody have a question before I start? And I'd appreciate it because there's some background noise. If you would press star 6 to mute your phone. And whenever you need to ask a question, feel free to do so. And pressing star 6 a second time so that you can unmute your phone and we can hear your question. It can be that even though a person has a single, pure, and elevated nefesh, he may become angry, and it will leave him. A lesser nefesh will then replace it, or he may contract a terrible sickness, and an exchange of souls may occur, or he may contract a debilitating illness, and his nefesh may be exchanged and go to another person while he receives a different nefesh. This is the secret of what is said, a righteous person all of his life, only to become evil in the end. An unwritten commentary. We have a practice in Kabbalah to have fish at our Shabbat table, and we eat the fish before the meat. And the practice is the reason, one of the reasons, there's a number of them, but one of the reasons we eat the fish is because the soul of a righteous person who was righteous all of his life, but at the end, he made a mistake. He's considered evil in the end. And that understanding, that soul has to reincarnate and correct that little bit of negativity that he had connected with in his last lifetime. And that soul reincarnates as a fish. And when the time comes for him to elevate, that fish comes to the Shabbat table. We eat that fish. We help to elevate that righteous soul. Sometimes he stays with us if there's room within our body for him. That righteous soul will stay with us and assist us in doing certain actions that complete and correct his negativity. And then we help elevate him back into the spiritual realms, totally completed in his tikkun. I'm continuing to read. The differences consequent upon the variant levels of soul can be tremendous. Look what can happen when a person becomes angry or seriously ill. His soul can be switched from a higher one to a lower one. The roots of their souls are from much lower places in the soul body of the human race. Then his behavior may change accordingly from moral to immoral, and to such an extent that it would be said about him, a righteous person all of his life, only to become evil in the end. This is also true in a more general way concerning the earlier and later generations. The spiritual levels of the later generations are much lower than the earlier generations, and their behavior is much less righteous. This is because the roots of their souls are from much lower places in the soul body of the human race than those of the earlier generations. Thus, if the soul body of Adam is considered one partsuf and one lifetime, then it could also be said of it, a righteous person all his life, only to become evil in the end. And that's why it is said about our current generation that we come from the left heel of Adam, meaning the lowest part of his body. And that's why we have such a weak generation, as our sages have explained. Continuing to read. Or just the opposite may occur. In the lifetime of individuals, something may happen to cause the soul of a wicked person to be exchanged for one of a higher grade. He will then finish his life as a righteous person. Having said this, it is also possible for a woman who was originally meant to be the wife of a particular person, but his soul gets switched and she becomes the wife of the other person into whom his soul has migrated. Several times in the Gate of Reincarnations, the relationship of man and wife have been compared to that of the soul and the body. Accordingly, it may be that the Rav is implying that souls which are switched because of some sin or sickness may be switched more or less permanently, like where a wife who goes to another person. My commentary. In my opinion, this section is not well illustrated or made easy to understand. When someone gets angry or has a major illness, the nefesh can be changed. The Zohar explains in many places that the neshama of a person who allows himself to get angry leaves the body, and this emptiness is taken up by a neshama that is connected to the negative side. This negative side neshama causes the body to do actions that are not positive. After the souls switch back, the positive neshama receives the effect of these negative actions, since it allowed itself to become angry. This section is being translated as nefesh and not neshama. This section is describing that the nefesh that is exchanged is lower spiritually than the existing nefesh. What cannot be determined is the translator saying lower spiritually in order to avoid saying the negative system, or is it something different as relates to a neshama and a nefesh? I do not know at this time. Perhaps this will become clear to us in future chapters of the book. That is the end of the section. Does anyone have any questions? Section 7, Legs and the 10 Martyrs. It is possible for the nefesh, the ruach, or the neshama of a person to elevate its sparks that were immersed in the depths of the klipot. They will be rectified through him, like what was explained concerning the deaths of the 10 political martyrs. Here is a short explanation regarding the 10 martyrs. 10 Mishnaic sages who were killed by the Romans in the 2nd century of the Common Era as an atonement for the sale of Joseph. They are Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel II, Rabbi Ishmael ben Elisha, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Hananya ben Teradion, Rabbi Chutzpit, the interpreter, Rabbi Eliezer ben Samua, Rabbi Hananya ben Hakine, Rabbi Yeshevav, the scribe, Rabbi Yudah ben Dama, and Rabbi Yudah ben Baba. On Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, it is customary to read an elegy that discusses the martyrdom of these holy men. Some sources replace some of the names above with Rabbi Hananya, the deputy high priest, or Rabbi Yehuda ben Tima, or Rabbi Yuda the baker, and also the possible substitution is Rabbi Tarfon. My commentary. We read about these deaths of these very high righteous souls on Tisha B'Av. Each of these men is what or was capable of stopping his personal death. Yet they had gone into the spiritual world and requested a review of this decree of death in the spiritual world. And they were told that it was a decree of Hashem, and that they were expected to accept this decree with equanimity or with serenity. To understand this concept requires someone to strive to receive a compliment with the same reaction that he receives a severe criticism. In fact, the compliment should have the same reaction as one would have of receiving a slap in the face in public, and as a form of humiliation. The reaction is that both perpetrators of the actions are sent from Hashem and are to be thanked and blessed in return. Try doing that when someone gives you a slap in the face. These men were on this level and used binding by striking to avoid hurting their executioners and stopping the process of their own deaths using mind over matter. To comprehend what is being said here, it is necessary to understand the Kabbalistic explanation of the 10 political martyrs. The following is a brief summary of what was taught in section 5 and 6. I am not sure if this is referring to chapter 5 or another chapter of the Sharei Gilgulim or some other sefer. The 10 political martyrs are called literally the 10 martyrs of Malchut. Their souls ascended to Malchut of Atzilut, which is called the Shekhinah. Because of their ascent, it became possible, even in these later generations, when spiritual power is severely diminished, to complete the rectification of the sparks that are supposed to be raised from the Klipot to the Malchut of Atzilut. Historically, the time of the 10 political martyrs was the time of the destruction of the Second Temple. The rule of the Romans over the land of Israel and the Jewish people was at its height. The oppression was great. Violence was ubiquitous, and sin was extremely prevalent. At that time, the Romans grabbed 10 leaders of Israel and condemned them to death, hoping in this way to forever eliminate Israel as an independent identity. Chas v'shalom. God forbid. The 10 martyrs were cruelly tortured and murdered. Their martyrdom is commemorated during the prayers of Yom Kippur, and it is praiseworthy to weep over them at that time. Now the words of the Ari will continue the description of those times from the Kabbalistic point of view. The time of the 10 political martyrs was the time of the destruction of the Second Temple. At that time, sin was so prevalent that people did not have the power to purify the sparks through prayer and to raise them up in the secret of Mayim Nukvim, female waters. Whenever the sparks are rectified through our Torah, mitzvot, and prayer, they ascend to the Malchut of Atzilut, where they are refurbished into rectified Parksufim that emanate blessing and knowledge until our world is penetrated by those good things. The beginning of this process is called the raising up of Mayim Nukvim, female waters. And it has already been discussed somewhat in chapter 3, section 8. At the time of the 10 martyrs and the destruction of the temple, the people did not have the power to raise Mayim Nukvim, female waters. It was as if the world had no more purpose. It certainly could not continue to endure if the purpose of Torah, mitzvot, and prayer could not be accomplished. Moreover, even the Mayim Nukvim of Bina descended downward and got mixed up once again among the Klipot. As it is written, for your sins your mother was sent away. The Mayim Nukvim of Bina, Ima, the mother, moreover, does not normally descend to the lower realms among the Klipot. Therefore, we do not need to raise them from the Klipot back to the world of Atzilut. That this Mayim Nukvim began to descend into the realm of the Klipot was another indication that the world was on the edge of destruction. The physical suffering of the 10 martyrs made possible the raising of Mayim Nukvim. The Holy Zohar says, furthermore, that the souls of these extraordinary tzaddikim were totally pure, but their bodies were given over to the evil side. The Ari explains that the physical sufferings endured by the 10 martyrs at the hands of the evil torturers made possible once again the raising of Mayim Nukvim through prayer, mitzvot, and Torah. In this way, the world was saved. In addition, in chapter 36, the Ari will explain that the physical sacrifice of the 10 martyrs gives hope and inspiration to all the later generations. Also, because of them, it is possible for all the later generations to raise Mayim Nukvim. If they, through the sacrifice of their lives and the physical suffering that they endured, had not opened this way for our tikkunim, our correction, to ascend to the Shekhinah, then we in these later generations would be without hope because of the intense levels of impurity from which our souls must ascend. My commentary. The idea of physical pain allows spiritual correction is well known in the teachings of Kabbalah. This is where one of the two teachings regarding the man from Nazareth arises within the Kabbalah. This teaching is that he was an 11th sage who has the job of reaching out and correcting the pagan nations. This does not mean that the Jewish soul should follow this path. It means that the Jewish soul should understand the purpose of its religion started with this teaching and help move this religion to its base as a righteous Gentile by giving up the aspects of idol worship within the followers today. Not through coercion, but by example. Just as these 10 or 11 provided examples when we read about the 10 martyrs. There is another teaching as well regarding the man from Nazareth that does not put the man in such a positive light. Here's a summary of this section. Malchut of Atzilut is called the Shekhinah. She is exiled from the world of Atzilut to descend among the Klipot in the lower realms. In the lower realms, she is covered by the souls of the soul body of Adam that have also been exiled into the realm of the Klipot. Throughout the lower realms are strewn sparks that belong to the souls of the soul body of Adam, who covered the Shekhinah, exiled into the realm of the Klipot. When we pray, when we study Torah, and when we perform mitzvot, then we release these sparks from the Klipot, and they ascend to Malchut of Atzilut. She receives them and returns with them to the world of Atzilut. This ascent is called female waters, Mayim Nukvim. When they reach the world of Atzilut, they become the germs to draw down illumination from above. At this point, they are comparable to the female zygote. My commentary means it's a vessel. This is in opposition to the male zygote, or the sperm. The ability of the various levels of soul to rectify their corresponding sparks is enhanced by the interconnectedness of souls who give and receive assistance from each other. In these later generations, because of their diminished spiritual power, rectification would be entirely impossible if it were not for the assistance and the subsequent upon the interconnectedness of the souls. When the spiritual level descends so low that the world is on the verge of destruction, then physical sacrifice can restore spiritual power. This classic expression of this phenomena is the 10 martyrs of Malchut. That's the end of section 7. Does anyone have any questions? Chapter 5, section 8. Return due to lack of procreation. There is a difference between someone who reincarnates because he was childless and did not perform the mitzvah of procreation, and someone who reincarnates because of any other transgressions that he may have committed. Someone who reincarnates for not having procreated will not be able to return alone, but only in partnership with another. This will also be the case, even if he is like Shimon ben Azai, who did not need to reincarnate to have children. Rabbi Shimon ben Azai is a special case in Jewish history and law. He was married to the daughter of Rabbi Akiva, but he divorced her. His love of Torah was so great and consuming that he could not share it with anyone else, since he had accomplished the mitzvah of procreation in a previous Gilgul, it was not necessary for him to reincarnate specifically to do that mitzvah. The extension of his own physical existence is achieved through procreation, or it's missing if there's no children. Nevertheless, when he reincarnates at birth because of a different sin, or to assist someone else, or to come as an ibur during the lifetime, it will not be possible to return alone, but only in partnership with another. Since he is half of a body, he cannot come alone. The extension of his own physical existence that would have been achieved through procreation is missing. It is as if he is the only half a soul, half a body. The compensation for the deficiency is that he will be born together with another soul. It could be that this is also called a double Gilgul, as we have discussed in previous chapters. This Gilgul is not because of Yibum, so it seems to the humble opinion of Chaim Vital. The secret of Yibum was discussed in section 6 and 7 of chapter 3, and the last section of chapter 2. The secret of Yibum is a special type of Gilgul that takes place when there is a lack of procreation. In Yibum, it is considered as if the first Gilgul almost never existed. This is not the case here. Therefore, the writer, Rav Chaim Vital, may his memory be a blessing, considers that this case is not Yibum, but double Gilgul. My commentary. It is a spiritual law that people must bring two children, a boy and a girl, in each reincarnation, except in special cases, which is relating to the mitzvah of Torah study. Many people who are childless rely on this unusual teaching for a level of comfort. What is the truth will be determined by the final judgment that each person receives. That's the end of the section. It's the end of our class. Does anyone have any questions? Going forward, tonight at 7 o'clock West Coast time, we will have a Zohar class. And at 8:30 West Coast time, we will count the Omer. Tomorrow night, Friday night at 8:30 West Coast time, we will count the Omer. Saturday being Shabbat, our first class will begin at 6 p.m. West Coast time, which is our combination third meal. And Havdalah. Then at 7 o'clock West Coast time, we will have a Zohar class from the Parasha of Akare Mot, having to do with Yom Kippur. And then at 8:30, we will again count the Omer Saturday night, Motzi Shabbat. Sunday morning at 10:30 West Coast time, we will continue our preparation for the various holidays in the coming week. At 3 o'clock West Coast time, we will have a second class in Lashon Hara, in evil speech. And then Monday and Tuesday, and Wednesday at 4:30 West Coast time, we will have our mini Zohar classes, which are half-hour classes that study verses in depth. And at 7 o'clock Monday, we have an essay by Rabbi Ashlag. Tuesday at 7 o'clock, we have a Tikkuni Zohar class. Wednesday at 7 o'clock, we have a question and answer session. It's like Stump the Rabbi, except I'm not a rabbi, and somebody can stump me very easily. But ask your questions, and we will do the best we can to answer them. Shalom to all. Have a beautiful evening.
Shalom. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.